Okay, Kate. I have, it's sort of a question, but really what it is a sort of a game for us to play. I want you to be a poetry teacher, and I want you to think of the most inappropriate assignment to give a group of teenagers to write about.
Definitely something involving their own body.
Yes, great. Love it.
Like, it would be, I feel like a real bad poetry teacher would set it up as like becoming an adult, and like in their brain, they're thinking like early puberty, but in those kids' brains, they're past that. And they're gonna get some weird shit about jerking off.
I
What
think
about you?
pretty good. Well, it's hard to top what happened in this episode, quite frankly. Maybe, write a poem about someone you really dislike and don't do anything to disguise their name or who they are. That might be a really good, inappropriate one.
Yeah, it seems like a good way to really make the class comfortable with each other.
Yeah. Anyway, roll that theme song. Hello, pals and gals, and welcome to another episode of XOXO
XOXO
Riverdale.
Riverdale.
I'm Louis Pearlman.
I'm Kate Batter.
This is your favorite Riverdale fan podcast, all about Riverdale, the show that has, including this one, four episodes left. Today, we are recapping Chapter 134, A Different Kind of Cat.
Meow.
Meow, purr. What a perfectly wonderful episode, Batman. But before we get into it, any Riverdale fan news to discuss as the show wraps up?
Yeah, I have so Madeline posted today, and she did not al it was her Instagram story, and she did not allow replies, which is important because I was furious instantly and wanted to reply. She posted a picture in an Uber in Manhattan and said, "How do people in New York City go anywhere without getting car sick?" And the answer is, we don't take cars.
Yes.
We simply don't get car sick. And I was like, it's a very easy solution, actually.
Oh,
Also,
Madeline.
if I am in a car, I don't play around on my phone because when I was a child, I learned that like trying to read, I mean, it was a book and not a phone, would like make me sick. And she's mid-20s. She hasn't figured that out yet. It just felt like she was trying to be like a cool New Yorker and like really missed.
Well, she's a very cool Vancouverite,
Yeah.
but she might
Which
not be a
also
cool New
has public
Yorker.
transit.
Yeah, she could have gotten on the train. She could have done
Yep.
it. She's
Yep.
not that recognizable, I bet, out of makeup, you know?
I mean, Jay-Z takes the train, you know?
Hey, de Blasio used to take the train. God bless him. De
I mean,
Blasio. You know who you don't see on the train? Eric
Eric
Adams.
Adams.
That guy, this podcast, we're not a fan of Eric Adams.
It is wild how much better de Blasio looks these days.
Yup,
Like,
it's sort of the Trump effect on George W, you know? It's
yeah.
similar. Yup, because this mayor we have, this New York mayor, worst mayor of all time.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad, pretty stinko. Yeah.
Pretty bad. He is opening a lot of public bathrooms, but I suspect he will not give them the resources they need to stay clean, and in 2 years they'll be donezo.
Yeah, and in 2 years they'll be like toxic waste zones.
Yep.
Like, yeah. Well, thank you for that piece of Riverdale news. I have a few things I want to talk about that aren't Riverdale related, but it's our podcast, so let's do it. So, thing number one that I didn't share with you before we got on to record is I saw Theater Camp yesterday.
I was about to say I should have brought up theater camp before this started, like 10 seconds ago, because I saw the theater camp over the weekend.
Yeah, I just wanted to recommend it to our listeners just because I thought it was so charming and lovely, just a lovely
It
movie.
was so good. I will say going into it, I was worried because I had so many friends who were those kids and were like,
Sure.
it's kind of attacking. And I was like, oh boy. And
No, but
then
it was
I
really loving of the kids. It was
it was,
it
oh, of
targets
course.
were the right people, which is the people who haven't moved on from their camp experiences.
Yeah. And what I will also say is that I did not see myself in those children at all, which felt so good to know I was never that bad.
I didn't really see myself in them either, and it made me realize that I certainly had a love of theater growing up and a love of musicals
Yeah.
and was in a bunch,
I went to theater camp.
and I wrote one, as you
Yeah.
all know, because I've said on the podcast before, if you want to see a video of my musical, like fucking, I will send it to you. I sent it to somebody who asked because of this podcast recently. So please,
Great.
more than happy to send it to people to watch. But I think I actually had just a more different array of like gay interests is what I'm gonna say. Like I wasn't just hardcore theater
Yeah.
obsessed. Yeah.
It was wild to watch and go, oh, I was a much more grounded child than I previously suspected.
Yes, I mean, although those kids were somewhat in the movie, were somewhat archetypes, I'm gonna
Yeah,
say.
I mean, but the thing is,
Yeah.
I also, again, went to theater camp and knew those kids. Like,
That's true. That's true. I mean, I knew kids like that, I guess. My camp was a little intentionally attracted kids that were very interested in the arts, but was a little more well-rounded. And I believe that theater camp was based on the writer's experience at Stage Door Manor, I
Yeah.
believe. And I was chatting about this with a friend of mine last night, actually, who's been on the podcast before, my friend Bethany, who I went to camp with. We went to Bucks Rock Performing and Creative Arts Camp together. And I'm kind of surprised that there hasn't been a movie based on the alumni out of Bucks Rock. There hasn't really been a movie about Bucks Rock properly yet, which is a little different kind of camp, a little more
Yeah.
leftist, socialist, hippie-ish, very weird, artsy. Yeah.
There are
So.
also, because I grew up in the greater Broadway area, a lot of camps available like that one
Yeah,
in.
but yes.
Yeah.
However, there are really these bigger camps that loom very large that spawned a lot of
Yeah.
alumni. And they're really, the three of them are Stage Door Manor is the biggest one specifically for musical theater, 100%.
Yeah.
French Woods as well. Shout out to my friends that went to French Woods, of which there were many, and Bucks Rock, where I went. Like those were the
Yeah.
places in this
Yeah.
area if you were a geeko, a
Yeah.
theater geeko. Yeah, that's where you
What I
went.
will also say is there's so many people in that cast I really like, and so many people, not so many people, one person in that cast were going, and I was like, God, I fucking hate this guy.
Ben Platt?
No, absolutely.
Well,
And
yeah,
to
I think
see
Ben
that
Platt
he.
might have a bad rap because of him being too old to be in that
Well,
Evan
he
Hansen
got.
movie and all that shit.
It's he really gets mad when people call him a Nepo baby because he is one, and you need to just embrace it. If you are a Nepo baby, it's okay to be one, but he gets like
Is he
angry and
Oliver
says it's
Platt's
nothing.
son?
Wouldn't that be funny? No, his dad produced Evan Hansen,
Ah, you know,
which is.
I something else I've heard about Evan Hansen from a friend of mine who's does work in musical theater is apparently a bunch of the song styles and concepts were ripped off of a band
Oh, I'm
who
sure.
wrote a whole bunch of stuff that was thematically similar like 10 years previous. So that's a
Yeah.
bunch of shit.
He's like, and I think it's like the way to be a Nepo baby is to acknowledge that that's how you got your break in, but now, like, you're hoping that what you do, like, shows, like, that, look, why you're still getting cast. And I didn't realize he wrote it. And at the end, I was like, wow, good for him. And he did, like, a really great job in this.
Yeah, good
But,
film.
like, why I didn't like him, I think, was because of who he is as a person. And then I also knew the name Noah Galvin, but didn't realize he was in it, and the whole time was just like, oh, he was in one episode of the other two. That guy from the one episode of the other two. And then he was like, oh, that's the I've heard that this guy. I just didn't put two and two together.
Yes, and I need to look up the rest of his filmography, but I think he's sort of a big deal musical theater wise, right? Noah
Yeah,
Galvin?
Yeah, he took over Evan Hansen when Ben Platt left. And then
Oh,
now they're getting
interesting.
married, which is kind of gross when you think about it,
Oh,
but
so the two Evan Hansens are having a little kiss time.
yeah, they're having
Walk,
little smooches.
walk. Smooch, smooch, smooch. Love, love, love.
But the movie was a delight. I
Yeah.
did tear up and like kind of let a few out during Jonestill,
Beautiful.
which
Yeah.
like I was looking around the theater like, oh, I'm the only one. But
My audience, I don't think they were crying, but everybody seemed really moved and really
Oh,
enjoyed
everyone
it.
like
Yeah.
really liked it, but
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of want to go see it again. I thought it was a pretty wonderful movie.
it's still, you know what, a clean like 93 minutes.
That's another thing too. It flew by. I was like, it's done. Well, that was a fucking
I
delight.
love that, 'cause also like I saw Barbie, I've seen Theater Camp, I saw Mission Impossible, which means next on my list is Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer,
And
Oppie.
Uppy, and it is so frustrating because I'm like, God, I have to, like, I don't want to go after work because I'm not going to get home until like so late.
Yeah.
And I have stuff on the weekends because I'm cool and popular. So I don't know when I'm going to see it, but
You're a busy woman. You have a
yeah,
life.
a woman about
Don't,
town.
listeners, don't think that Kate Vatter doesn't have a life just because
Nope.
we do this Riverdale podcast once a week.
Nope. I only do like three things, but they take up a lot of time.
Yes, and this is not one of the things. This is the short little project that
Yeah.
Kate just brushes off whenever she wants to. That's the deal.
Yeah, very in and out. This is very low on my list of priorities.
Yes, this because she's so busy and popular and it's
I'm
amazing.
so busy.
So the other thing I just wanted to bring up is just that, Paul Rubens passed away this week. And I, because it's my podcast, I want to be able to talk about it a little bit
Yeah.
because for me, he was just an absolutely huge influence on the way that I like to do art. And I feel like he created, mainly through Pee-wee, this character that was just like so immersed in inclusion and positivity and just sort of everything that the character did.
Yeah.
A lot of our younger listeners maybe have never seen episodes of Pee-wee's Playhouse or watched Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but they're really, really worth seeking out, especially if you're like a queer weirdo, which I know a lot of our listeners are, which is so yeah, and I, the only other thing I want to say about it that was nice for me, but also insane, was when it was announced he passed away, which was in the early afternoon, New York time on Monday. I was in therapy and had my phone on Do Not Disturb. And then I just popped on my phone at the end of my session to just schedule the next therapy appointment with my therapist. I was on Zoom and stuff, and I had like eight texts from different people being like, Louie, I'm so sorry. And I was like, who died? And I was almost relieved that it was Paul Rubens. Yeah.
Well, I learned about it on Scott Aukerman's Instagram,
Sure, that makes
and
sense.
it was interesting personally because when celebrities die in the middle of the day like that, I almost always hear about them through Rich Eisen. Like, that man has broken so many celebrity deaths to me.
Explain who that is for me and for our listeners.
Sure. Rich Eisen is a sports broadcaster.
Ah.
He was on SportsCenter back in the day, and then when the NFL Network started, he was like the very first person they hired.
Yeah.
But he has like a daily radio show that they air like live video of that's 3 hours long.
Gotcha.
But because it's like you don't really have to pay attention and I'm like working, it does mean that I absorb 15 hours of Rich Eisen a week. He also like he's done stand up, he's acted, he's been in like a lot of comedy shows.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like you've actually probably seen him.
I'm sure I have, yeah.
But that's who Rich Eisen is. But I was at work yesterday and around 4 p.m. my boss, who's a couple years older than me, came out to me and my two coworkers who are 23 and 24. And she was like, I'm bored. I don't want to work. I need to talk about something. What's going on in your lives? And eventually Pee-wee came up. And it was so interesting because she and I had like absorbed so much Paul Rubens in our life,
Yeah.
like just all the time. And the other two had like, they'd heard of Pee-wee. They didn't know anything else he was in.
I have a coworker
And
who's
then
24 that I had to explain to her who Pee-wee was,
they
which was
knew who.
fine. I was just a little surprised, but I
They
get
knew
it.
who.
It's very
Yeah.
generational. Yeah.
But they knew who Pee-wee was. But then one of them, like, she was talking about how. So she's learned about a lot about him the past couple of days. But everything she hears about, keeping in mind she gets Gen Z media, is about his arrest at the theater.
Really?
And so she was like, kind of like, she's like, isn't that like kind of creepy and gross? And my boss and I like immediately went to bat for him because like that was not bad. Like, out of all the things people can do, I feel like his like arrest at a porn theater is like, we were like, no, if you're getting the vibes that what he did for that was like really awful, then like you need different media.
Yeah.
But then that brought up too, then Sinead O'Connor died in the past week.
Yeah.
And she's, I've, oh, she was always very poorly. She was always very maligned in a way that she didn't really deserve.
In no way. Yeah.
And so much of it is, you talk to people and they say, well, the SNL thing. And you're like, but have you like thought about that recently? Like, because in the moment in 1990, or was 90, I think it was 1990.
I believe it was. I believe I saw it live, actually.
Yeah,
And
I
I
was
was
like, it
like
was.
8 years old or nine, or I would have been 9 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, and like you say, like what she did wrong was she tore a picture of the Pope. But have you like actually, like you just say that sentence without like thinking about it? Like, have you actually thought about the fact that like she called the Catholic Church evil in 1990, and you hate her for that?
Yeah.
Like, it's really, and stuff is. I mean, both of them had stuff come out this week about like how great and funny they were, and it's interesting.
I ended up watching today. I went down a big Pee-wee TikTok hole and I ended up watching a Howard Stern interview with Phil Hartman that happened just like immediately after the arrest. And it r reminded me what low-hanging fruit he was at the time and how everybody was just waiting to pounce on him because of his perceived queerness, really, is the reason why. And, you know, what Howard Stern says is really gross and sex shaming. And then Phil Hartman doesn't go to bat for him because Phil Hartman was mad at him because apparently he felt like Paul Rubens had stolen a bunch of, you know, wasn't paying him and the original stage show people properly for the success of Pee-wee's Playhouse. But then Howard Stern's like, well, have your lawyers contacted his lawyers? And Phil Hartman was like, no. And it's like, okay. Like, and Phil Hartman was even on fucking Pee-wee's Playhouse in the first season, playing the same character he played on the stage show. And he co-wrote Pee-wee's Big Adventure with him. So I don't understand what the big issue is. But, you know, it's really felt like more than anything, Phil Hartman was trying to distance himself. And it just reminded me of, at that time, really how conservative the media was and how frightened everybody was of being at all perceived as queer or queer friendly in any way. And what a trailblazer he was because he made this show that really was for little queer kids. You know, adults could enjoy, or adults are, you know, straight kids could enjoy it too, but oh my God, that show was so for little gay boys and girls, you know? Wow. Yeah. So yeah, worth checking out. Let me tell
Yeah,
you.
and then I want to scold, and I hope this gets back to every last one of them, everyone who was at the Yankees game
Yes.
on Monday night in the seventh inning. It, halfway through the seventh inning, they do God Bless America. It's really uncomfortable and weird. And then they take me out to the ball game. And then they play like a crowd pleaser. It's like for the past 2 weeks, it's been That's Amore. They'll do like Don't Stop Believin', just like something big. And so on Monday, was it Monday? Yeah, Monday, they did Tequila.
Yep.
And I had my phone out already because I was recording. No, I guess that was the inning before the grounds crew, but I was like still had it ready. And I let out a big awe, and no one else did.
Yeah.
And then they were showing people on the Jumbotron, and they weren't showing kids. I mean, they showed some kids, but they were like really trying to hone in on like a 30 plus audience to get them, I think, to do the dance, and no one did.
Yes, to do
And
the
like,
Pee-wee Herman.
yeah, and I was like, I feel like if I got up and did it, like one of the camera, like those cameramen are really good, but also I just absolutely do not want to be in the Jumbotron.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like under any circumstances, let
Yeah.
alone doing that dance.
It's not your thing.
Yeah, which is, but like, there's so many people who are so excited,
Yeah.
and none of them did the dance, and it was super disappointing. Like, eventually, like, they still had it going, like, when the players were out. Like, usually the camera, like, stops a little earlier, but they were, like, really trying to find someone, and no one did it. So,
Very sad.
yeah.
Well, I hope we can all do the Pee-wee Herman dance for the rest of our lives because it's nice and it's fun, but not on
Yeah,
the
it's easy.
Jumbotron.
Yeah, you don't, I mean, unless you want to, like, feel free,
Yeah.
but I've been on one Jumbotron and I hated it.
All right, let's get into it. Chapter 134, A Different Kind of Cat.
Yep.
Overall, what'd you think of this one?
Fine.
Didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that bad. I thought some plot stuff was wheel spinny, but not all of it.
Yeah.
Some of it I really liked.
For the fourth to last episode, they really gotta like figure out what they're doing.
Yeah, it feels like this show's just gonna go on forever.
And it's not.
No,
So,
things aren't really wrapping up.
yeah.
And they felt like it was very important to bring back Ashley Murray's Josie character.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, stellar performance from her in this.
She was great. And I liked, last week we were listing different types of cats, and then she did that in the episode, and I really liked that.
Yes, she did. She left out Jellicle cats, but I won't, totally
She
blame her
left
for
out a lot of breeds. She only named like three, but
that. And greatest transatlantic accent I've heard on an actor in a really long time on
yeah,
her.
it was wild.
So interesting, a few things. When a few things, I'm gonna go down my list and we'll talk.
Yeah.
When Jughead and Veronica came in at the beginning of the episode holding hands together as an
Yeah, they hard
item,
launched.
Betty gave Jughead a jealous look. I'd like to believe that's because Betty is jealous of Jughead,
Yeah.
not of Veronica.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, agreed. I also at that point in the episode thought it was going to be like a flashback episode because they had flashed back like through Betty's whole opening monologue, and then they flashed back to Veronica's the witch, and I was like, why is this happening? And then it did stop.
Yeah,
And it
like it was
did
gonna be
feel
like
like
a
it was,
clips episode. Yeah.
yeah, it was like very bizarre.
Yeah, no, totally.
And I also think it's Betty's so confident that she can publish a book.
Yes, Betty's gonna publish her book.
Yeah, there's no steps in between her wanting to publish it and it being published. Like,
Yes,
easy peasy.
it's gonna be out there.
Yep.
She's gonna release it on 1955's version of Glamazon.
Yes.
Yeah, like, yeah. So, something that I thought that was a fun detail. Mrs. Grundy on the board was teaching the kids about the Enlightenment while Archie was going through his feelings about finally, making thick in the warm,
Yeah.
just to use an expression from Big Mouth, which people younger than me apparently think is the most disgusting show ever, and I think is hilarious, but
There's
whatever.
something weird with kids today and like being prude with media in a way that like we have not gotten to the bottom of, but there's something going on.
Right? Like people in their 20s are like, that's gross.
Yeah, there's something about like for a long time, like we were really trying to push that like not every man and woman has to be more than a friendship on TV and in movies, and then that happened, and now they've swung like way too far.
Now they're like, ah, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, it's weird.
Yep.
So just want to say, everybody in Riverdale has to know about these photos between Tony and Cheryl by now, right?
They gotta.
They're just flinging them around.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
But, glad that Betty, was such an ally, or perhaps a fellow queer person.
Yeah.
Probably the latter. But I did really like that scene with Lily and Madeline, where they were sort of coming out to each other.
Yeah.
And then they said, a pleasure to meet you, and they shook hands. I just thought
Yeah, I
that
didn't
was
really like that.
just very charming.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to talk about when Josie comes in, and what I immediately noticed was really that the dry cleaning bill for Veronica's theater's got to be through the fucking roof.
because
You've got two outfits, or I guess three, because Veronica wears some sometimes, and they are there every day sweating in those.
that is true. That is true. Even if they have multiple versions of their little outfits.
They never get a break.
And sometimes Archie and Reggie seem to usher there as well. So, you
Yeah.
know. Did you notice what movie was playing when Josie came out of her limo?
A Star is Born, right?
Yes, which came out in 1954. So that is era correct. Good job.
Good, because Great Balls of Fire came out in 1957.
Oh, yeah. I thought it came out a little later, actually. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like early 60s, but I looked it up.
Yeah.
It was
Yeah.
still,
Yeah.
though,
Great
later
Balls of
then.
Fire didn't work out. Josie is the founder of the Black American Theater Company, which it is true at the time that was the period where the mid-50s where black theater companies were beginning to spring up in major cities, most notably in Harlem. So that was Josie's portrayal in this. There was actually some accuracy going on, which I thought was
Yeah.
okay. Yeah.
What do you think Going Uptown was a play on? Because I looked it up and there's a musical called Coming Uptown from the 70s.
I just thought Going Uptown was supposed to be a reference to Harlem.
And Coming Uptown is about Harlem.
Okay, so there you go. Cool.
Yeah, which is,
Yeah.
I mean, it's from the 70s, that
Yeah, but
musical,
still sort
but
of a similar. Yeah.
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep.
So then we had this. Okay, this is a part that I want to be critical here. The whole idea of Josie wanting to show the work print, quote unquote, of the film at the theater.
Bijou.
Yeah, at the Palladium.
Yes.
And then, first of all, a work print usually has a temporary score and isn't fully edited and doesn't have credits and stuff. So, okay, so she's got a work print. That's step one here of her plan. But then she like flips to being like, let's do a test screening. And then she flips to like, well, maybe we should have the premiere. I don't know. And it's like, well, Josie, those are three radically different things. And probably most of the audience actually knows that. Like, I thought
Yeah.
that was weird writing
She was
for
really
that
all
whole
over.
plot point.
They kept using hep instead of hip, which is, I guess, period time, but I wanted to point it out because I wouldn't have caught that without the subtitles.
They have been using hep, which I think is great because
Yeah.
that is the correct verbiage from the 50s. That is really fun. I also liked how Josie only comes out at night.
Yeah, I
She's
also went to.
nocturnal.
When did Veronica move back into the Pembroke?
Oh my God, you're right. Somehow she's just back at the Pembroke.
With
It never
guests.
got resolved when Hiram was on or anything.
Nope.
Nope, she just lives back at the Pembroke again.
Yep.
Well, good for her, you know.
Yeah, I
Glad
mean,
that sometime off screen that plot point
that
was
worked out.
resolved.
Yeah.
So, okay, we learned something really important about Twyla this episode, which I want to point out, Twyla Twist. So, didn't we think she was a sex worker?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's not.
She was described in this episode as the town bicycle.
Yes, so she's just a nice lady that lives in a hotel and likes to fool around with different guys.
For
More
free.
power to her, that's
Yeah.
fine. Because she turned down Archie and it was like, oh, I guess you're not taking his money?
Yeah.
Yeah, wild. But it made Archie mad. And then the first thing he decided to do, and this was the main thing in the episode that I was like, we do not need this, guys. It was like the show was going out of its way to right a wrong that it already righted, which is just to write. Sorry, I've used right so much, folks. To write, Mrs. Grundy properly, right?
Yeah.
But instead, we had to have Mrs. Grundy turn down Archie's advances. And it was
Yeah.
like, okay,
We don't need
like,
this.
yeah,
It's fine.
exactly. Yeah, exactly. That whole thing was like, yeah, well, I'm glad they didn't sleep together.
Yep.
Like, that would have been worse for the show. So,
Yeah.
yuck. So, Veronica Lodge, the character, is named after Veronica Lake. So just, I liked all of that interplay a lot. And I also believe that Sabrina, the teenage witch, is named after that film. So that's a bunch of really fun stuff. Sabrina's originally from 62. So, but it makes sense that like somebody would have
Yeah.
thought of her earlier, but I was like, I don't think they'd let her
I
get
feel
away
like
with it.
because Sabrina is in universe, it's like that doesn't bother me as much as all the other things that are anachronistic.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Like, I think this is sort of interesting because it blows them into a timeline where Sabrina doesn't exist,
Yeah.
where she's not real anymore. And I think that's okay. Yeah, I thought actually the Sabrina plot line in this was hugely charming, the whole thing. I
Yeah.
liked it a lot. Yeah. Can you fucking believe Betty's never masturbated?
Nope.
Yeah.
Honestly, it feels like it's her thing.
Yeah, can you imagine that poor woman? Oh my God.
Yeah.
With all of her, perfectly healthy sexual thoughts she's been having this
Yeah,
season.
she is just like horny as hell, like
I
big.
wonder if after she masturbated, her like experience it, like maybe her fantasies changed and they weren't in a jungle anymore.
Oh.
I don't know. We'll never know. We'll never know. I did enjoy the Great Balls of Fire masturbation montage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also enjoyed how Archie read his shit poem and everybody cringed.
Oh my God, it was KJ's so good this season.
Yep. KJ's really selling it. He's loving all this.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we had right after Great Balls of Fire, we had Josie sing this I'm a Different Kind of Cat song, which I tried to find and look up what that was, but I couldn't find any what it was at all. Josie's
Yeah.
two songs, I don't know what they were, which makes me feel like a bad music dope.
I did not bother looking up the second one because I was annoyed and it felt like they really mangled things around just to jam in a musical number for her that we didn't need.
Yeah, we had two musical numbers from Ashley, which is fine,
Yeah.
but it's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So then we had this part where Mrs. Grundy makes Archie write about pain in a way to lay down some boundaries. How did you feel about that?
I barely paid attention to that part, and I don't know why, but I think it's okay.
Okay, great. That's fine. I accept that. That is totally okay. So, Cheryl helping Betty with all this stuff. I really like this version of Cheryl. This is
I do
like a
too.
really fierce, ready to defend her friends version of Cheryl, who is not mean for no reason.
Yeah, she didn't leave a cheer teacher to die in a closet.
Poor Mrs. Apple Basket. What was her name again? It wasn't Mrs.
Was Apple something. I think like
It
it was Apple
was it
something.
was it Apple Bomb? Apple
It might have
Bottom.
been.
Apple Bottom, I believe.
Boots with the fur, yep.
Yeah, yes, Mrs. Apple Bottom.
Her first name is Jean.
Maybe that's how this show's going to end, is Mrs. Apple Bottom's ghost will fly out of the room and wreak revenge on all the characters, and that will be the end of the show.
If they ended that way, I would love it.
Five
It would make me
stars.
so happy.
Yep.
It would erase everything they've done wrong.
Yes, everything that's been annoying.
Yeah. The part where the film rips, tears,
Oh, God.
Veronica's reaction is so funny and it's not supposed to be. I wrote, the audience can't really.
Yeah. Well, that whole scene, I do want to. Just before we get to it, I just want to address something that happened slightly before. The Black Student Society, I try the what's it, it's called the
The Black Athena.
Black Athena Society. It's gained all these new members,
Yeah.
and these are actors we've never seen before. And I'm like, I kind of would love to see more of these guys on the show, to be
Yep,
honest.
but we sure shit won't.
I know, totally. I just wanted to point out how I thought that scene was actually great.
Yeah.
Totally cool thing to have. All the stuff with Black Athena, I think, has been really cool this season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway. So, Yes. Oh, the only other thing before the tear stuff, because the tear stuff was so funny, just is loved Josie's description of whitewashing, because that is absolutely what happened
Yes.
back in the day as well. That's very much what used to happen. So, but there was a, I think Josie was shooting for more than this with this movie she was making, but there was an interesting current of black made and produced films that were getting smaller releases for black audiences in the 50s at the time. Like there was sort of a black film circuit. So just wanted to shout that out because, you know, it's interesting in relation to this sort of fictional narrative here. Okay, yes, there's a few other things before the film tears. So stay tuned. Loved the shout out to Fangs is going to get introduced to Josie's producer, who is Alexander Cabot. We love him, character from the Josie comics, and I believe was a character in Katie Keene.
Oh, Katie
Not that
Keene.
I ever watched Katie Keene, so I don't know.
Nope.
So then the scene where Mr. Featherstone was like, give it a few years, kid. This is a really good idea, and this is just not the right time for it with Sabrina. The only thing that I still want to have happen with Pep Comics is I want them to find success by publishing some sort of black and white comics magazine that is not, it's beyond, that's beyond the code's purview. Because that's what happened to EC Comics, which is so interesting, is EC had to stop publishing all of their stuff, and they took one of their titles, which was a humor comic called Mad, and made it into a black and white magazine that could be sold at supermarkets. And that it escaped the code and became hugely successful for them and like giant cultural touchstone. So I want the plot of Pep to mirror that. I hope they do it. That would be so fun. Anyway. Okay, so also it made me sad to see that nice picture of Luke Perry.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was very effective. Jughead says before the premiere, one of his cl most classic lines he said this season, I barely have any clothes without an S on them. So funny.
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. Now let's talk about it. So, a movie getting caught in the projector and burning and needing to be respliced is not a horrible crisis. And indeed, it would take about 5 minutes in a projection booth to fix. And they made it into this big Megilla.
They're gonna lose the audience. The
Yeah.
audience.
Yeah. I can't wait for 5 minutes for them to fix the movie. Yeah. Shut up, President Nixon. Sit in your seat. But I don't want to. Like, unbelievable, right?
It was wild.
Yeah.
She fired them, I believe.
She did. She fired them. Leave them alone. Leave our boys alone,
Leave them
Veronica.
alone.
Yeah.
But they need an excuse for a musical number.
need an excuse for another musical number just to have Ashley sing one more time on the show, I guess. You know, did love the shot of Josie in silhouette at the end of that number. I thought that was really cool. Then, once again, something super nonsensical. The critic gave Veronica his notebook? What happened there?
Who knows?
Yeah, then
Who
Veronica's
knows?
reading out the what?
Like the draft that he wrote during the movie? Like
Yeah,
what?
and he was like, here it is, Veronica. Like, I thought that was wild. They couldn't have just cut to like a day later and like had a paper
Like
and been like,
spit
what
in
did
and
he
like slap on the
write?
screen.
What did he write? Yeah, a spinning newspaper montage. Give it to me. Absolutely. It was nice and it felt somewhat metatextual to give Josie a star ending in the series, and felt like it was the final little button that they wanted to give that character, because I think they all knew they gave her a crap ending, you know? And then they tried to write a fucking backdoor pilot that didn't work out for them as well. So that was a whole bunch of nothing that ended up happening there. And the only other thing I have listed about this episode is, you know, Archie has been so great not being violent. And I just want him to beat the shit out of Frank, let me tell you.
Oh, Frank deserves it.
Right? What an asshole.
Frank is the worst.
Yeah, Frank is real bad this season. Not into Frank.
No.
Not into him. All right. That's the episode for me.
Yep.
Who was on your power list?
I put Josie and Betty, but like, not again. This episode didn't feel like anyone was really moving and shaking.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Josie and Veronica.
Okay.
Who's on your crush list?
I just put Cheryl.
Sure. Cheryl's a good choice. I'm gonna say Josie and Kevin and Clay, because God bless their hearts, didn't deserve how mean they got. So next week, what's happening?
135 for a better tomorrow.
Maybe they're gonna go into the future.
I don't think so, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's what's gonna happen. Well, I mean, we got three episodes left.
Yeah.
It's the end of an era.
Wow.
Well, thanks to our editor, Angeli Mercado, who always rocks.
And our theme songwriter, Louis Aronowitz, who more literally always rocks.
Yes, who did 5 minutes of work for us. That's not
7 years
fair.
ago.
Who probably did 2 hours of work for us 7 years ago, and we're gonna shout his praises till the end of time. For XOXO Riverdale, I'm Louis Perlman.
I'm Kate Vatter.
Bye.
Bye-bye.